This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by our amazing Patreons. Those are the folks directly supporting us and making this show happen, and you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/Star Wars Report. That's patreon.com/Star Wars Report.
You can do it!
Kuzumo Senspa in Mandalorian. War's over, I'm a pista Mandalorian. The story is stumped, Star Wars historians. Deep in debate, buff and play at Benegans. Rhyme renegade, showed up penetrate. First and second defense, I won't hesitate. Got a Jabba do and Darth the guy that delegates. Got something against Skywalker, someone he really hates. I don't give a
after solo.
I like carry, could be hiding on his dojo. Gotta make the money.
Credit's no good when a Jabba's running shop in your neighborhood. Hey guys, it's the Star Wars Report podcast. Such a good song.
I'm a devious to death, I'm right defender of the devil. Shut down all the trash compactors on the detention level.
What? We're
back.
What?
Got jets.
Take it. To finance my bet. Chicken, chicken. Well, I chill in deep space and a mask is over my face. Mask isn't over his face. Let's bring in the co-host. We're twisting things up a little bit. Welcome to the Star Wars Report and welcome my dear co-host. It's Mark Herleman. One Mark James Herleman the 15th.
It's like the solo dojo down here in the Rogue Studio.
Exactly.
Hey, it is good to be back. You know, it's nice to be out of the woods and back in my own bed and back with my Star Wars collection. I did have my little Hot Wheels Millennium Falcon taking the journey with me up to Seattle when I went to Boy Scout camp. But man, what
yes.
an adventure.
Welcome, by the way, welcome back from Boy Scout camp. Which is why you weren't here with us last year. This is our like tag team reunion. By the way, I'm Riley. I started all this crap. Riley Blanton, host of this here podcast, and welcome. If you like Star Wars, and you like everything that Galaxy Far, Far Away, and you're excited about this film, they're doing this film, Mark. I don't know if you heard about it. That's coming out in like a mere 4 months. Welcome. You're in the right place. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. This is for the week of, I usually don't do this, for Monday, August 24th. School starts tomorrow for me, but hey, I'm here to talk.
Ew.
I'm here to talk Star Wars, and also here to talk Star Wars with me is one Bethany Lee Blanton the first. It's actually true. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen. This is my new shtick, by the way. It's just like giving people random middle names that aren't theirs. But it is true.
This is actually my middle name. And hello, everybody. I am welcome. I'm so welcome.
You are welcomed. You are welcome. Welcomed to the podcast.
Wow, it's late. At 9:22 p.m. at night, it is late.
Late for us.
Currently.
You are welcome, though.
But I think I felt so welcomed back because
how it's going.
Welcome back. How it's going.
Teresa. Did you ever go back and hear that episode?
No, okay. But I just downloaded it. So
like,
yeah.
If you guys listened to the last couple episodes, we had Steve and Teresa and Carl and then you, Mark, and Nathan. You guys were all filling in for us while we were gone at Air Force field training over the summer. And again, thanks to everybody who filled in. But that's actually a pretty solid running
bit. By the way, guys, I'm definitely, when I'm listening to those and catching up, I'm going to be texting you and be like, you said what on our show?
Pretty much.
laughing.
Well, and that's the thing is that Steve goes back and replays, and this is for Bethany and anyone who did not listen, go back to the previous episode. Steve played the audio of the first time he and Teresa were ever on a podcast together, which was right here. On the Star Wars Report.
Yeah.
And of course, it is exactly as magical. It's everybody's so formal. It's hilarious. And Teresa starts, I'm like, welcome to the show. Teresa Delgado says like a 2 years younger Riley that I already can't stand listening to. And she's like, hey, everybody, how it's going? It's so great. But enough about that. But yeah, we're here to talk Star Wars and we have quite a bit to talk about. You know what I should do, gentlemen? I should actually like pull up show notes, but I can't. So because we're not live tonight.
I want to say real quick before you get into where you're going, and I think I can lead us into it. While I was up at camp, I quickly became the Star Wars guy, and I think it was like the third day at camp. I was sitting there, and I saw a tweet from Riley going, "Hey, guess what's on StarWars.com?" And I'm like, "What's this?" You know, and I'm looking, and sure enough. There's the site in our podcast featured on StarWars.com. And when people were like, hey, you that Star Wars guy, right? And I'm like, yeah, did you see us on StarWars.com? I was reading New Jedi Order Vector Prime, and I had the business card we made for Celebration as my bookmark. I was pulling it out. Like, yeah, see my podcast. But yeah, it was fun to be able to pull on that, and that happening the week it did, because my brother, he came up and visited me, and the day it came out, I'm like, guess he's on StarWars.com.
Yep. No, awesome. That's right. The Star Wars Report podcast has featured on StarWars.com. Yeah, Amy Ratcliffe contacted us about that, and so you can read Mark and my take on what the world of podcasting has been like, and we kind of announced to the StarWars.com world, anyway, what this here shenanigan is all about. And that was amazing. That was actually a huge privilege and honor to be a part of, and I'm so glad that that Amy decided to feature us. So huge thank you there. But yeah, Mark, that was a very, very awesome moment. So if you want to head over to StarWars.com, and it's in the blog, the best way to do it is just Google StarWars.com and Star Wars Report. It'll show right up. But yep, podcasting in a galaxy far, far away. We've been doing it a while, and it's really cool to be featured on the StarWars.com blog. So that was absolutely incredible. And speaking of, and I felt terrible because I forgot to mention it last week. And speaking of things I forgot to mention last week, if I may, guys, we're going to Dragon Con. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you guys know this, but
put up like 5 articles about
Dragon Con
site.
More than Star Wars Celebration, I'll say it. Is sort of the hallmark destination, the defining point every year of my fandom. Held here in Atlanta, Georgia, because if you go way back into the archives at StarWarsReport.com/SWR episodes, if you go there and scroll way down, it's like after 4 or 5 episodes, we'd only barely been doing the Star Wars Report for a few months, and we went to Dragon Con for the first time.
Indeed.
And, man, we've been there every... So that was in 2011, and we've been there every year since, which is just awesome. And I'll tell you what, we're not just going to Dragon Con, we're doing a lot of stuff at Dragon Con, and you guys need to know about it. As my phone and tablet just rang out. It's like, Dragon
yes,
Con time!
We are.
A couple things. Bethany, if you have the information up, let's talk about the various panels we're going to be on.
I do indeed. So, firstly, we will be on the Force Awakens panel. However, that will not be, that will not be either of us moderating, but we'll both be on that panel. And I'm really excited to talk about the Force Awakens once again this year at Dragon Con.
It's bound to be a huge, huge deal. That's at the Hilton Grand Ballroom, speculating on the Force Awakens, and we got some good friends going to be there as well. So if you're at Dragon Con, well, first of all, if you can make it to Dragon Con, go to Dragon Con, come up and say hello, all that good stuff. But yes, at Friday at 11:30. That's on the Friday of Dragon Con at the Hilton Grand Ballroom West. That's where you want to be. Also, besides that, by the way, Bethany, Sinatra and Star Wars is back.
Ooh.
If you remember
yes.
that.
Oh, I'm
we
so
will be there as well.
That.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah. But then on Saturday's the big day, and you want to be there. So I'm moderating a panel, and that's really, really cool. I'm not just guys, I'm kind of nervous about this, I'll be honest. Don't tell anybody. I'm moderating a panel, and it's the Meet the Stars of Star Wars panel. It's the main Star Wars panel at Dragon Con, Saturday afternoon. Be there. It's at 1 p.m. at the Hyatt Regency. This is the Regency Ballrooms 6 and 7, because one's not enough. Of course, you've got the inimitable... Take two. You've got the inimitable... I always mess that up.
Is it why you use that word
from Star Wars Rebels?
Frequently?
She's Hera, Vanessa Marshall. She will be there.
Also known as the captain of everything.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Inside joke.
Also known as Teresa's best friend. But also, we have Chewbacca himself, the mighty Chewbacca. Peter Mayhew is going to be there, and like I'm kind of terrified, as I believe is well founded. I mean, it's Chewbacca. Will,
yeah.
You need to be there 1 p.m. Saturday of Dragon Con at the Hyatt Regency. If you're there, you might see Riley's arms get pulled out of their socket if I ask the wrong question. So tell me all about what Chewbacca... Does Chewbacca die in The Force Awakens? He just, like... pull. It's like the Lego Star
medic.
Wars video game.
We need a medic and another moderator.
We got a bleeder.
Oh goodness! But after that, it is also Saturday, and this one is at 2:30 p.m. in A706. So that's the main Star Wars room at the Marriott. We will have the fan discussion of Rebels. So we'll be looking at the next season, talking about, of course, everything else as well. And that will be a lot of fun. The moderator will be Thomas Harper, but both me and Riley will be on that panel as well. And I'm absolutely looking forward to it, given that I'm a huge fan of Rebels.
Yes. Yeah. And that's not all, because... And there's one more. Stay tuned, and we'll toss in a free poster for 1995. Actually, no, free posters are involved at the Meet the Stars of Star Wars panel, but there are more on that later. And then on Sunday, Bethany and I will both be on, and Bethany will be moderating the Rogue One panel, military themes in Star Wars and Rogue One, and we're going to be talking about it with our vast military experience from Air Force field training, all 4 weeks of it. We'll be lending our expertise. That's going to be an awesome panel. We've never really done, I don't think DragonCon's ever done anything like that. And all the news breaking about Rogue One and it being a military style movie, a band of brothers of Star Wars, if you will, is going to be very interesting. And of course,
I was actually at the Rogue One panel at Star Wars Celebration.
That's right. And I
was saw
not.
The clip.
So this is fortuitous. So, this works out perfectly.
Yes. This works out perfectly. And I'm excited to talk about Rogue One. I'm excited to be hosting my first panel ever at Dragon Con. It will be
Amen.
Sunday at 4 p.m. again in A706, which is the main Star Wars room in the Marriott.
And that's Dragon Con 2015. You know, I'm missing this already. I remember the old times when I used to do like the Dragon Con drops. they were so good, and I missed them already.
Oh, Riley, your Dragon drops were the best.
I wonder. No. Here's what I'm going to do, because I'm a terrible human being and I'm going to stall while I pull it up. But in the old archives, yeah, Star Wars Celebration 6 and Dragon Con. Here we go. Check this out.
This is the Star Wars Report's continuing coverage of Dragon Con
2015.
12.
We're here with Mr. Richard Hatch. Welcome to Dragon Con. Of course, I should be saying that. This is my first year.
Well, you're doing a good job. Sounds like you know what you're doing.
So say we all.
I need to recut a 2015 bumper. That rules on so many levels. It rules because it's Dragon Con and it's Edward James Olmos freaking saying, so say we all. Two, you can distinctly hear Bethany screaming at the top of her lungs because she's close enough to the microphone to pick it up. So say we all. Which I can tell you there, I was witness to it. Bethany was into it.
So into it. And I love Battlestar, so it was fun.
Dragon Con's amazing. Be there or be square. It's an amazing convention, and we've got some great plans for it. We'll be bringing you a lot of coverage, too, and we're going to be having audio from the panels and hopefully some interviews. We'll be doing all kinds of stuff at Dragon Con, and we'll be doing a lot of bonus stuff for you guys who are supporting us on Patreon, so more on that soon as well. There we go. This is the weirdest part of the show, because Riley still hasn't had time. He's pulling up his tablet right now, desperately in search of show notes, because I'm so used to being able to actually go off of, you know, actually prepared notes. Sometimes I don't as much, but at least they're like there to remind me, so that at least when I go back and listen to the show, I'm like, oh man, I totally forgot to mention that entire story.
Yeah.
But usually they're there.
One thing we're looking forward to as well this year, and this does actually have a connection with Dragon Con, is Force Friday.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, so, that's true. Yes. Which happens during Dragon Con.
Indeed it does. And we are going
with
to
lots
take
and lots
everyone
and
at
lots
Dragon Con
toys.
Over to a store and buy Star Wars stuff.
Do we know where this is?
I do not know where it is yet.
Do we know?
Collider.com has, they've got Hasbro's online catalog up. They've got about 23 or so of the 63-page catalog. There is some amazing things that not only was I surprised that we're seeing, but things that I'm surprised to see back. Micro Machines. I'm a huge fan of Micro Machines. Mm. They're back, and they're back big. We got the play sets. We've got the little sets. The die-cast, the Titanium series, I've got all those. I'm so excited they're back. But surprisingly, things like the Nerf. Nerf has a Chewbacca bowcaster. They've got the First Order Stormtrooper blaster and rifle. And the rifle looks impressive. I mean, for being white and stuff, it's got the classic D-17 look to it. Or yeah. But we've got Nerf masks and stuff for Rylo or Kylo Ren. We've got two versions of those. One of them where it's just the mask, one of where it's a voice changer. We've got the Nerf type helmet for the First Order Stormtrooper. We've got the build your own lightsaber, and then the action figures. Now the action figures, this one, there's a wide array of them, and yet I'm not as excited about these because most of these have the 5 points of articulation. Great for your younger kids, but when you're into posing your figures a lot, they kind of drop in the quality of what I'm looking for.
But you would know more about this than me, Mark. Isn't that like a throwback to the old collecting days, the old vintage action figures?
Yes, it is. It is. And as someone pointed out, it's great for little kids, you know, the ones that are going to break the other ones. And so I get that they're really trying to capture the wide range. But there's a lot of these, like when you're looking at them, they've got the single arm, just there's no bend to it at all.
Yeah.
Captain Phasma, example.
Aha,
nice. Looks great, but the lack of articulation really brings the character down. So much so where I'm like, there's going to be such an influx of these action figures and stuff that it's like you couldn't possibly buy them all. And if you can, I salute you and I hate you at the same time.
So these are the these are the Black Series figures, right?
Some of these are Black Series, some of these are not. But the Black Series ones actually are the ones that are looking a lot better than the other ones. There's some of those that I really want to get. Like there's an Ahsoka and Vader from Rebels. Looks nice. Great. But again, you're going to have to pick and choose on your points of articulation if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because, I got some feedback on Beyond the Films once where it's going to come down to, are you ever going to see this figure again? And that's the thing you're going to want to think about if you're on the fence with the 5 points of articulation. You know, there's some of these figures, this is it. You're never going to see them in any other form but this one form. And so that's kind of weighing what I'm going to go after.
But if it's a – but yeah, if it's a New Order Stormtrooper, you know that it will cross your desk again in another form or fashion. Let's not gloss over the fact that they're doing a Furbacca.
Yes, Furbacca. One thing, though, that surprised me, though, the die-cast version of Millennium Falcon is the original. So far, all I can tell is that the Millennium Falcon that is in the Micro Machines is the one with the new dish. So far, everything else has the old dish.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I was kind of disappointed by that. I was like, I mean, if there's one ship I have the most in duplicate, it is the Millennium Falcon.
Mark,
I was like, what?
There's a 3 3/4 scale Millennium Falcon Nerf. The thing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
That one I was looking at, it's also a play set, but it's weird. Like, I'm hoping they don't take it too literal, like, where we see a huge cannon pop up in the center of the Falcon like that.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think they're literally like, they found an excuse to put a Nerf dart gun in the Millennium Falcon. They're like, well, where do we put it? I don't know. I wouldn't be worried about that.
I don't know off of that conversation.
So, like, the Black Series has your Finn. You got your Finn. You got your Rey. You got your Kylo Ren. You got your New Order Stormtrooper. You got your Chewbacca. And then you've got your 3 3/4. Well, not 3 3/4 scale, but you've got your, New Order, Imperial Order. What's
guys.
The First Order. Thank you. Good Lord. TIE Fighter as well. So I'm pretty excited.
Why are we talking
the
about
the Force FX lightsabers?
Besides
Force
FX. He's so cute. Oh my goodness.
Calm down. Yeah, no.
Teresa, where are you when I need to talk about cute things in Star Wars?
I know I just said let's not gloss over the fact that there's a Furbacca. I'm now glossing. Force FX lightsabers.
Okay, here's the one that I think we really need to stop and talk about here because there's so little detail to it. A remote control BB-8. He's on a white background, clearly pasted in there. What is the size of this BB-8?
Where's the thing? Let me find this thing. Is this on the collider thing?
This one is on the – no, this one is the one that Bethany shared that's on Imgur. Imgur? And it's down at the very bottom, page two on the 63.
I'm sure it's amazing. If only I had a laptop with the capability to actually get on the internet at the moment. No,
all they show you is a little boombox looking remote control, which looks fairly simple to operate.
Yeah,
and then a picture of a cutout pasted BB-8. I'm like. It reminds me of when I first saw BB-8. What is the scale here?
What's funny is I was in Books a Million the other day, and I saw, much to my surprise, a trade magazine for like robotics, and on the cover was BB-8, but not any BB-8. It was the main article of this trade magazine was how to build your own BB-8 droid. I'm like, how is this already happening? And I posted a picture of it on my Instagram, which
Robert
Redden's
building a whole buttload of them.
There you go. I did post a picture of it on my Instagram, which you can find at Instagram user the Riley guy. There you go. All right. It's going to be a good time. Mark, you know, anybody want to? We need about 100 more patrons. And I'm just to waste all the money, not on actually, you know, investing in equipment for the show, like we've been doing, but actually just buy Star Wars toys.
Yeah. Any toy stores need someone to review your products. I've got shelving. Yeah. I'm happy to display them, especially if they've got over 32 and 64 points of articulation. I like to change them a lot. It's something I do. Don't judge me.
I kid. No, we actually use Patreon to improve the show, which I think is an excellent time to mention the fact that this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by our patrons over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We actually, before the show got started, recorded a little bonus audio because that's the kind of thing when I'm not at Air Force field training anyway, that's the kind of thing we do. We like to record bonus audio and pictures and video and stuff, especially with stuff like Dragon Con coming up. We like to throw in an extra something special for you guys who are directly supporting the show through Patreon, and it really does make a world of difference. And if you like Star Wars, more specifically, the Star Wars Report, you can support us directly, but you can do it by going to patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And we have all kinds of cool bonuses for you guys who chose to do so.
In this particular bonus content for today, you get to hear Bethany be very candid because she didn't know that it was actually being recorded.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, Bethany's like, wait, what? This is recorded? Yep, it's a trap. So if you want to hear Bethany.
You get to hear all my uncensored remarks.
You know.
How polite.
Don't. We have to be careful now. We don't want to.
You want to put that Nerf cannon where?
Exactly. So if you want a Star Wars Report T-shirt, that's what we do to our patrons. Yeah. If you head over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport, that's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. All right, folks. Well, let's. And this is me. I'm actually kind of enjoying this in some ways because I have to go by my wits. I'm on my little 7-inch tablet. Keeping up with the show notes here, but we do have a few news stories I want to hit, and some feedback I want to do. There's one news story I really.
Where is Steven Stanton when we need him?
Oh, yeah. that's
you said
true.
It, sister. So say we all.
Besides Biggs, which is like the big speculation on Rogue One, it looks like Grand Moff Tarkin might make an appearance, which I think is amazing. I will say this. It needs to be Steven Stanton. I don't care if it's not just a voice role. Just bring him in. I say more Stanton. The more Stanton, the better.
I mean, we all saw him at conventions dressed as the Grand Moff himself.
Yep.
And it was
darn good.
He more than pulled it off. He was like, he was Tarkin. He is Tarkin.
Yes. And what was he gave away the costume at the Rebel Force radio party at Celebration. I forgot.
It was, that's so sad. Well, all the more reason.
Wasn't
to get
sad
him in
for the guy who got it. I'll tell you that
there. Think about what they did with the actor, Wayne Pigram, I believe. You know, he had lots of makeup on to make him look like the original actor. And Stanton already looks surprisingly like him.
It's
minus
pretty close.
Any kind of facial add-ons, you know, any prosthetics or anything like that.
Yeah.
Now you add those prosthetics and you have one advantage over every other actor out there. This guy's actually voiced Tarkin already. So when you close mm-hmm. your eyes, you don't have to see the same face of Tarkin because you're going to hear the voice no matter what.
Exactly, exactly. But the one news story I really wanted to highlight is the is Empire Magazine has their most recent issue out. It is their massive winter box office preview. They're previewing such films as Pan, The Hateful Eight. By the way, with Mark, you and me, we're both Tarantino fans, and oh. The Hateful Eight's going to be amazing. But of course, The Martian.
I just saw a preview for that, and I was like, oh, that looks really good. Like, I'm impressed.
Although, for those of you who saw Interstellar, we all know what happened the last time we tried to send a rescue mission out to save Matt Damon.
That was good, too. I've watched that 8 times, and I'm still blown away by what happened. What? He's where? Wait, is there somebody looking at me right now through my bookshelf? I'm creeped out.
Yeah, no. But we don't care about any of those. We care about what's on the cover, which is Star Wars: The Force Awakens. J.J. Abrams on the most anticipated film ever, which I would say is fair. I think at this point, we're a few months out, I think that's fair. I think this is probably the most. No, I'll say it. This has got to be the most anticipated film ever. And they have two.
Think about this, Riley. When Episode 1 came out, it had the same thing. The only difference here is we've been disappointed already. So we know that who has the IP right now is not going to disappoint us again. So we're like,
or at least we're
it's
hoping.
Time for Christmas. Come on, Santa Claus. It's morning time.
Exactly. And taking a page out of the comic book world, there are two variant covers. You have the dark side and the light. What is it?
There's been an awakening.
Yeah, that's not bad. I think
that's actually what it says.
Pretty darn good
for the Empire.
Have you felt it? The dark side and the light.
All right, now I'm channeling the Empire. It's like the dark side
that's
and the light.
You know, I mean, when you stop and think about Mother Talzin and Palpatine themselves, and even the ghost form of Bane, they all had resonant voices of other dark side users.
They
so Palpatine
do.
Being in the mix, I'm down.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
The light side, and this is the one that perplexes me the most. You know, on the back of this one, we got the Force is strong in my family.
I want to see.
My father has it. I have it. My sister has it. You have that power too. And yes, we're probably looking too much into it, but. There's got to be a family connection here. There's no way that Luke is using his father, himself, his sister, and not saying, you're my niece, you're my daughter, you're my, oh my God, Mara Jade had a baby, what?
I love how it went straight to Mara Jade. Mark, you never disappoint. Well, what's funny is that great covers, nothing really new. Photos and poses with all the characters that we've seen. And we get a pretty good look at Domhnall Gleeson as what that's, if you ask me, that ain't no Imperial officer. That's like some sort of Moff or governor. Which is interesting because most of the Moffs.
I would fully agree with you, especially with that, like, that long.
What's funny
coat.
Is that Domhnall Gleeson, as Harry Potter fans well know, he has this like really sweet Scottish accent.
Yeah,
and so it's like if he were a mob, what's all right? Feed me a line of Tarkin. I need a Tarkin line because I'm terrible.
Evacuate in our moment of triumph.
He would Domhnall Gleeson would be like, evacuate in our moment of triumph. I think you overestimate their chances. That would be Domhnall Gleeson.
After our lucky charms, you know.
Or like a Darth Vader line, Commander, tear this ship apart.
Commander, tear the ship apart until you found those plans. That almost went into Fargo.
Accent. Yeah.
Commander, tear those ships apart until you found those plans, don't you know?
We need to tear this boat. We gotta find this boat apart.
man, European accents make everything better.
They do.
And now, young Skywalker, you will die. That's Domhnall. What's funny is, have you ever seen? You know, Domhnall Gleeson. He's one of the older Weasley brothers.
Yeah,
I forget which one. Mm-hmm. But of course, he's also. Have you seen Mark or Bethany? Have you guys seen what was the name of the film, Riley? Oh, what was it?
What was it about?
It was a existential artificial intelligence movie about
Ex Machina?
Oscar Ex Mac Ex Machina?
Sorry. Again, it is too late.
Now I was questioning myself. Have you seen it, Bethany?
I have, yes.
Mark?
He was really good in it.
Okay, it's kind of an existential thriller / mystery / horror movie about what is the meaning of actual life and is artificial intelligence real? Kind of a fresh take on an old question. Mm-hmm. But humorously, it has Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson. So, like, I planted my butt in the dollar theater to go see that this last year because I was like, well, it's half the cast of the new Star Wars movie. I might as well see it.
Yeah.
Which tells you how much of it. I'm like the suckers who went to see, what was that terrible movie that people went to see, the Phantom Menace trailer? I'm like those people.
oh, yeah.
But I forget where I was going.
What I'm talking about real quick is a theme that's unspoken here. You notice that with the First Order, the Imperial side of things, they're the space. And everyone else is on the ground. And I like even when you see the light side, the Empire is coming in from the sky. It's kind of like, you know, we've dominated space, we're dominating the skies, and everyone else is rebelling and resisting our oppressiveness.
Like, I don't know.
I like, you know, you've got the order of the hangar bay with the stormtroopers marching in their filed lines. You know, you've got what looks like the three powerhouses of the First Order regime there with General Hux and Captain Phasma with Kylo Ren.
Phasma!
Which again gives you that sense that Kylo Ren, if that is a title like they're saying, that it's a title that carries some weight within the First Order. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been constantly like on the fence of like,
well, like
maybe
with the whole...
we're just seeing this traditionally skewed for a reason.
Have we...
Like, what if every time he's being led, like he's a prisoner or
Mark?
You know...
We haven't talked about the Entertainment Weekly pieces together, have we?
I don't think
that
we
recently
have.
Came out. Anthony Bresnikan, who total transparency, but it's one of those things that things come in a big, giant, fateful circle background to bite you in the butt. And that's what happened with me. Remember that one time when I took the weird moral high ground of like, I don't like revealing official announcements through trade magazines. Me. I don't like, you should only be through StarWars.com. Hey, I'm Riley Blanton. I'm the snobby Star Wars podcaster who wants to tell Lucasfilm how to distribute publicity material. Ooh, I'm Riley. That was me. I was terrible. I was honestly terrible. I'm ashamed of that episode. Download it at StarWarsReport.com. but like in that thing is that, yeah, I totally pooped on Entertainment Weekly, which it's a great, we love you, Entertainment Weekly. Come on our podcast and talk about all the cool things that you guys reveal about Star Wars, because I totally love you now, which is actually true, because Entertainment Weekly actually has a professional approach to revealing Star Wars stuff. And they had a big series of articles recently released that we talked about briefly on the show last week. But Mark, did you read the part about the whole Knights of Ren?
I didn't, but I've seen people talking about it since.
So you know what it is then, right?
I keep saying it's dropping the A and the the A and the V, and that it's from Revan. But
okay, see, but again, Mark, you never fail to disappoint, because that's not the direction I was going at all. But yeah, so basically, in the Entertainment Weekly article, Bethany, I don't know if you read that part or not, but Kylo Ren is not his name; it's a namesake. And J.J. Abrams, and this is maybe considered spoilery, but not really, because it's officially released from an interview with J.J. Abrams. And we know J.J. Abrams. He's not going to give away stuff that's too important. But he basically said it's an organization of some kind, an ancient organization known as the Knights of Ren. So Kylo Ren is kind of taking a title, not unlike Darth Vader, the Darth portion of Vader. Remember in A New Hope when we all thought, you can't win Darth. We're like, oh, Darth's his first name. It's like Darth James Spader Vader. I don't know why I said James Spader. We just watched Avengers Age of Ultron, folks. Man, now I just thought of James Spader doing all the Darth Vader lines and I got really excited.
Well, I mean, okay, so from a legend standpoint, we've got Sith, we've got Jedi, we've seen Mandalorian Knights, we've got Imperial Knights. So just the use of Knights in general is interesting.
Well,
but thinking back, too, that the Sith were originally the Knights of Sith, too, in the first drafts and stuff. So I'm curious as to where their allegiance lies, these Knights.
We have not – this may be like just sort of grasping at straws, but we haven't actually really – unless I missed it as part of field training or whatnot, we haven't actually seen them referenced directly as Sith.
Oh, the Knights of Ren?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. They've actually... Yeah, no,
they're called, like, a group.
They've totally stayed away from the word Sith
in
any of the marketing material, at least like, that I'm aware of.
Unless I've missed it.
Yeah, I don't think we have. They're staying the Sith away from everything. I'll tell you what.
Well, that's why, you know, from the Revan angle, it's interesting because the Old Republic game right now, it's a legend story that's ongoing, and yet they've been nebulous about it the whole time. You know, I mean, they could just as easily be like, oh, yeah, it counts. But right now, it's as far as we've been told, it's Legends. But it's still going on, and right now, there are a legion of Revanites that are hunting down the Sith and the Jedi. So it's like a new order of something that stands for something completely different than the light and the dark. And so if that's a concept that they're going to use in this regard for Knights of Ren, I like the fact that they're doing one of those... We're not actually calling it Knights of Revan, but if you want to take that and go with it as a tip of the hat, go for it kind of things.
Tip of the hat, back of the finger.
They're not dismissing anything, but they're not admitting anything as well. It's like, oh, well, yeah, what a great coincidence.
But JJ did tell EW that Ren is, quote, well aware of what's come before in regards to his mask looking like Darth Vader's mask. And that's very much a part of the story of the film.
There's a person who his mask looks like, and it ain't Darth Vader, let me tell you.
Yeah, but okay, so...
It rhymes with the Shmevin.
But Abrams told EW that, quote, the movie explains the origins of the mask and where it's from, but the design was meant to be a nod to the Vader mask.
Sure it was.
Yeah.
Sure.
And Jar Jar's supposed to be Goofy. Not
Charlie Chaplin. Oh, well Mark. Said, oh, sir. Burn.
Well said, sir.
Mark's like, I'm going to save up all my evil for one comment.
Did you hear about that? That was George Lucas actually said that at D23. I don't know if you knew that. He was literally on stage.
And here's the other best part about this, Bethany. Disney not only turned the EU into legends, they also made Lucas a legend.
Oh. Oh.
That kind of hurts, actually. Oh. I'm not going to lie. Bazinga. Zing.
They take my books. Now they take the maker.
Well, I do like what JJ
Mark,
said
we both
again
love.
About you
Mark,
know, the lightsaber.
We both lost what we love. Sorry, go ahead, Bethany.
The lightsaber, of course, Kylo built it himself. And as Abrams called it, it is as dangerous, fierce, and ragged as the character himself.
Yeah, and that's a cool confirmation that he bought.
Yep.
He constructed it.
I like that he says,
I mean, we all kind of knew it.
Ragged, because again, we've had these discussions back and forth of, that's not a good lightsaber. It doesn't look well built. And I'm like, come on, guys. He probably crafted it out of some material on some backwater planet that's farthest
from the
center of the universe.
It'd be a twist.
And Bethany was right. You should have listened.
You know, it'd be a cool twist if Kylo Ren wasn't force sensitive, right? That'd be a classic JJ redirect.
But
which
in
is
the
why
trailer,
it's so crappy because he usually takes force sensitivity to construct a lightsaber well. So the reason it's so crappy.
No.
Well, see, it could work because right now Marvel has actually put out there that there are people that have been enhanced with technology. They could create flames out of their hands and things like that. In the Darth Vader series, Vader has been kind of pushed to the side as Palpatine's number two and has these guys kind of fighting gladiator style for that
number one spot, Mark Herleman.
Position.
Because our internet blipped for a second. But don't worry, Mark, I finished your sentence for you.
And Riley and Mark have been podcasting for too long together.
All right, let me pause the old recording real quick and Mark will be right back with us. Okay, all right, we're back, and Mark is with us. Ain't that right, Mark? Okay. Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
I'm no longer
Mark,
stuck behind
the internet. The internet ducked out on you mid-sentence, and I finished it for you, and I dare say it was a pretty good job.
Nice. Well played.
So, long story short, how about that Empire cover? That Empire magazine cover? Right, guys? Awesome.
Glorious.
Okay. And by the way, BTW, BT-dubs, as the kids say, take a look at the old light side version of the cover. Two things. One, there's a weird photoshopped cloth on top of the Millennium Falcon that makes no sense. But behind that weird photoshopped cloth, what do you see? Bethany, Mark, take a gander. take a look behind the cloth on the Millennium Falcon. There's it's a part of the ship. Part of the ship, part of the crew, part of the ship, part of the crew, part of the ship.
Oh, no.
We watched
Pirates of the Caribbean. That's the wrong franchise.
Wrong franchise. Johnny Depp did ran into Harrison Ford, and it was funny.
I see a cloth, and I see the ship.
And the satellite on
the
ship.
Satellite.
Bethany, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I'm glad I got it.
What do you notice about that satellite, Mark?
Hey, that's the old one.
It's the old satellite.
Yeah, you're really messing with my head, JJ. You're losing in Return of the Jedi. What is going on?
Let's all point out the fact that it's the old circular, rotund, if you will. That's not politically. Is it politically incorrect
yes.
to call this the?
Yes.
I can't call it. It's.
You will hurt the Millennium Falcon's feelings.
It is the vertically challenged satellite array, the round one. That we see in Return of the Jedi get busted off. So. So, like, was it busted off, and then they put a round one back on, and then they put a weird one, the other kind? Or
no. Rey finds scrap. She finds another YT-1300 and flies it away, and Han shows up and goes, "Hey, that's not the real Millennium Falcon. This is the Millennium Falcon."
Oh, but see, they wouldn't do
Mark,
that.
Mark, your Han voice is better than I knew.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Except for the fact that the Disney execs would never want any confusion, so they only want one ship like the Millennium Falcon in the movie, because that's the way Hollywood works.
But it'd be like one of those classic Star Trek in a loop things where you get to watch the Enterprise blow up over and over again. You're like, well, we could blow this ship up and no one's going to care.
Well, that's true. But I don't know. That's weird. I'm actually genuinely interested.
That ship doesn't quite look like the Millennium Falcon now that I'm looking at it. It's like really dark.
I mean, let's ask the question. Here, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Star Wars Report, we like to ask the tough questions like, would the Millennium Falcon really have a weird tan rag hanging off of it?
If I may ask,
this is the kind of content you only get here at the Star Wars Report podcast, patreon.com/
If I may ask,
Star Wars Report.
Kylo.
Mm-hmm.
That name has an L and a K in it.
It does.
It's a four-letter name.
Here at the Star Wars Report, we like to ask make the tough statements like,
yep.
Kylo has an L and a K. Sorry, go ahead.
Patreon.com/Star Wars Report. It's yet another character where we don't actually know his last name.
Yeah, that's true, technically speaking. I mean, I think...
And JJ did say that... Kylo is a little bit more complex than that.
Yes. It's Kylo Calrissian.
Why do you think that we have three main characters and we don't have their last
names?
Names?
What name does that sound like?
You've got Rey now, you've got Finn, and now we know that Kylo Ren is really his name. It's
I'm saying Bethany, this puts him into the running to be a Solo or a Skywalker.
Yes, absolutely
That's a fair statement. I think that's we could expect that.
And Kylo kind of sounds like Luke a little bit.
And you know, if he likes to tinker with things, you know who else likes to tinker with things?
And you know who else came from a backwater planet and had to come up from nothing and build stuff himself?
Cobbled together a pod racer, the fastest we'd ever seen.
I'm the only human who can do it. remember that line?
Yeah.
Oh god, I forgot about that. I'm the only human who can do it.
Man, not like it's any.
Hey, remember when Jake Lloyd?
But what do you guys think?
I just kind of wanted to start talking about Jake Lloyd again, and the fact that
that's where I think where the Riley that was all ashamed of himself for coming down on EW is coming from is like, how much of this do we take legitimate versus how much of this is like the other cover where we see Han and Chewie with Finn and all them all sitting in the cockpit? I mean, I don't really think we're going to have a moment in the scene where they're flying through the asteroid pit and they all fall into each other's lap and smile at the camera. Like, you know, I mean, clearly that was for the photo shoot, you know, so how much of this are we reading into? I mean, because that the dish is really throwing me off here. I'm looking at that. I'm trying to rationalize it. And I'm like, maybe it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that the only image they had was one with the Falcon having that dish.
Hang on.
Mark is like, I don't care if Kylo Ren is like Kylo Skywalker or Kylo Solo. I care about the Millennium Falcon dish.
Whoa. And
it's the smoking gun.
Well, and then I just popped down to the comments in the Club Jade article with the I just realized I just totally zoned out on what you guys just said, and this may
I was teasing Mark and he was laughing because it was funny.
Okay.
But he has a very good point to make.
So I scroll down the comments of the Club Jade article, and if you take a look, take a gander, they point out that not only is the radar dish round, which, by the way, I felt so proud of myself for making that discovery, and the second I scroll down, I'm like, oh yeah, everyone's already talking about it in the comments. It's late to the party, Blanton. But also, those stormtroopers, Adam Lamping pointed out on Twitter, the stormtroopers in the Imperial version are classic trilogy stormtroopers. They're not the new stormtroopers. So, flashback.
Very true.
Is this the subtle way of telling us that the Force Awakens, the next Star Wars film in theaters, ladies and gentlemen, breaking here exclusively on the Star Wars Report podcast, flashback, and I'm calling it now, the MacGuffin, the very device used to teleport Kylo Ren back in time into the era of the original trilogy, where the original stormtroopers and the original round darn thing on the Millennium Falcon, satellite array on the Millennium Falcon, is the it is
it's the TARDIS,
it's the tan cloth. The tan cloth.
I just angered every Doctor Who fan.
The tan cloth.
I'm sorry, Aaron.
It was a great joke. Oh, well.
Well, okay.
It worked better in my head.
So about the armor here, do you notice that the first one from the, when you're looking at it from your right, the first one's got the O and the next one's got the two lines. So it's clearly not even the same armor between the troops that we're seeing there.
That's true.
You almost get the sense that maybe the First Order is limited on their resources. They're very much like the Rebellion once was.
They're like Jawas. They're scalping old stormtrooper armor.
Yeah.
Because they can't afford the rest.
Ooh.
See, there we go.
There's definitely something to that.
Well, because those are the new TIE fighters in the background, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are.
Well, clearly, with General Hux there, they've got to be on Starkiller Base. With Captain Phasma!
Captain Phasma!
Captain Phasma on the right of me! Kylo Ren up in front! We're gonna take on this rebellion, and we're gonna make them front!
So, I think we should never say Captain Phasma's name other than this particular sentence in a normal way again.
This is the pact. This
always
is,
has to be... Mm-hmm. Captain Phasma!
Captain Phasma! No, Bentley, this was started by one Scott Rifen on this very podcast. It became
Yes.
It was... He.
I'm telling you, it's too late for me. It's after 10. I don't know.
He does it right. One Scott Rifen. So there you go. That's the Empire cover. That was like half the show, but I like it. It is the gray weird tan cloth that will be the teleporting flow walking device used to carry Kylo Ren back in time.
Kylo
Ren's saber's dripping.
Oh, crap. Look at the cloth. Look at the cloth. What if that's a cape on an invisible person?
I forgot. All right, stop.
Jar Jar's
stuck. We're done.
Jar Jar,
yes. I think it'd be really cool if Jar Jar was invisible and had if the secret tan cloth is like the Harry Potter cloak.
No, not that one. The green one goes on the blue one.
I'm George Lucas.
I think
I don't like Star Wars anymore.
He's a colorblind. They're all green.
Let's talk about that. I have. Oh goodness!
I think we've derailed
officially. I need a cough button, and I don't have one. And everyone's like, "Stop it, Riley!" We have to do feedback. I totally forgot. I got so distracted by our insane theories.
This comes from a longtime listener. Woo! Dear Star Wars Report. If you guys and gal have taken the laser swords quizzes on Facebook, what color laser sword have you been given, and what type of handle would you choose? If you haven't taken the quiz, what color laser sword color would you choose? I myself have taken the quiz 3 times, and I always get blue, even though I want the purple laser sword, and the handle I choose is always the same one that Count Dooku used.
Right off the bat, thanks for your email, Woo. And yes, that's the thing about Facebook quizzes. You never get what you want. I'm going to turn to my phone and just type in light... saber.
I think I'll do this too.
Color.
My favorite's to always get blue.
quiz.
I have no idea why.
I'm going to go to playbuzz.com because I don't have Facebook loaded up. But the playbuzz.com has a what color lightsaber would you have? I'm sure this is a comprehensive and scientific look at type of lightsaber.
While Riley's
I'm going to go through this real quick.
While Riley's doing that, I will actually say, when I have a choice in a video game of lightsaber color and shape and size and all that, I typically do a straight handle with an orange blade, actually. I tend to like those.
Orange blade?
Yes. Yes.
I thought you went for the yellow blades, like in the Old Republic.
There are yellow ones.
Don't judge her.
Which game is it that has sort of an orange shaded... I honestly cannot remember the name right now.
The Jedi Temple.
KOTOR, Jedi Temple.
Yes.
Jedi Training 2.
Yes.
Jedi Training Academy 2, Electric Boogaloo. First off, starting off with the deep questions. Ladies and gentlemen, starting off with the deep questions. First off, who are you? Am I a Jedi, Sith, or other? I need help with this. Mark, what am I?
Oh, clearly you're other.
Who am I? Who am I? I'm Mother. All right, so what power do I possess? Oh, they embed YouTube clips of Star Wars. This is so good.
Nah.
Mind control.
Do they have one that says mind? Yep, mind control.
Mind control. Sorry, so Mark, listen to them all and then just tell me right off the bat the one that jumps out. Mind control, electricity projection, telekinesis, none, advanced communication skills, quick on my feet.
Mind control.
Mind control.
Go to patreon.com/StarWarsReport.
I'm picking the... now we're getting visual. Picking the first image that captures my attention. We have a snowflake, a horse statue, a slice of chocolate cake, and a giant explosion.
What?
And I'm going to definitely pick the giant explosion.
Only one Star Wars theme.
So Bethany,
awesome.
Now it's your turn.
Here, Lord Vader, have some chocolate cake.
No.
I'm getting different questions. This is why you
have to do like one at a time, unfortunately. So if I could, I'll enlist your Mark's help as I continue. So I think it's your turn. Mark had me on the last one. Okay. Mark jumped straight to mind control, which has me a little nervous. but just, I'm going to go through this list. Don't think too hard. Just pick one word. Got about six here. Justice, vindictive, communication, soothe, tranquility, protection, dominion, evolve, moist.
Justice.
Moist was not a word, by the way.
Justice. Well,
justice and the American way.
See, I'd Lando Calrissian smoothed you myself.
All right, Mark, you ready? Why would I use my lightsaber? Would I use it to negotiate, protect, kill, or intimidate?
Oh, protect.
Protect.
You're a good like I'm not a, boy I'm not a scout with,
Bethany
with a deadly weapon I that's
approve.
Been trained to use I it am, appropriately at all times.
Bethany, I am an introvert, an extrovert, an ambivert.
Extrovert.
Or I fluctuate.
Fluctuate.
Fluctuates. All right. Fluctuates. All right.
Days you're in any, some days you're
Mark,
outie.
Mark, back to you. How does Riley want to be remembered? As a god, ruler, parent, a variable? Wait, what is... This is a weird quiz. A hero, sage, politician, or peacemaker? Wait, this is going to be easy for Mark.
A sage.
Oh, really? You could have gone straight to politician. I'm a political science major, but sage...
Oh, no.
Sorry?
No, you're way too sage for that.
Sage. All right. Bethany? How good versus evil am I? Somewhat evil, neutral, somewhat good, or totally evil?
Somewhat good.
Chaotic evil.
Somewhat good. Mark's got the right. Mark, my friends would call me, so Mark, would you call me chill, wise, unpredictable, fun? What friends? Meaning I don't have any friends. controlling, charming, or caring?
Wise.
Wise. You guys think I'm 70 years old. This is the thing. You guys think I'm actually 70 years old. This is the problem. Bethany? Bethany.
See,
what does Riley despise? Stagnancy. I'm not sure that's a word. Stagnancy, chaos.
I couldn't stand when Darth Vader was so stagnancy about all those Padawans. Just kill them already. I can't take it anymore.
Rudeness, weakness, goodness, violence, ignorance, anarchy. What do I despise? Stagnancy, chaos.
Anarchy.
Anarchy. I will have order. As the two whiteboards with my full semester plan demonstrate.
Two.
I do despise anarchy.
Two.
Three. Sorry.
Yes.
Well, and of course the desk calendar that's hanging up. So kind of four. Let's be honest. And ladies and gentlemen, I have a result. You guys.
Did you get purple?
So no, let's stop. I was going to say, what do you think, Bethany? Give in order the top three you think I would get. What color?
Blue, purple, and green.
All right, Mark, your top three in preferential order. What do you think?
They're going to give you green, blue, and then yellow.
We have a winner, and the prize goes to Bethany, because the color is sacré bleu.
Nice.
Blue, which actually I like, because blue is my favorite lightsaber color. So whatever this Play Buzz quiz is, they're good. Ooh, they're good.
You know what?
Now, taking it from the angle that Bethany was coming from, you know, when I played KOTOR and things like that, I loved having the silver lightsabers.
Oh, yeah, those are cool.
The so dark blue that it looks black style, which, in fact, Dark Nest, we saw
one
of the characters have one of those. And then, yeah, later the dark saber itself was an all-black one like that. Very nice, too.
Not to forget... okay, and we do, all right, so we do, excellent, thanks, again, Woo,
guys,
thanks for the email and discovering.
Guys, I just did a quiz, you want to hear the results?
Oh, really?
Steve Lawson will be proud of this.
Is this a lightsaber quiz?
Yes, it is a Play Buzz quiz, but it was different than yours.
Wait, so do we get to guess too?
Guess what I got.
Top three.
Red!
Now, are non-movie colors in play? Is that cheating to ask?
I'll just say no.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, you already kind of gave a hint, a pretty big hint. So I'm going to go in order, red, green, and then blue. Mark?
Red, red, red.
Okay, well, let me make a statement. Would Steve actually be friends with me if I were completely Sith instead of having a few Sith-like tendencies?
I mean, yes.
Well, that's
let's be
true,
honest.
But
so are we wrong?
You are wrong.
Oh, see, this is why we should have picked Mark.
I'm not
this is why we should have picked
Sith.
Different colors. Purple? No, were any of our colors right?
Purple is right.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to say.
The rare and elusive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically, it says you use techniques on the light side and the dark side.
Ooh.
You should get a purple lightsaber. And honestly, this is kind of true because Mace Windu, of all of the Jedi, I would say was the one who would tend to. He definitely didn't.
Legends, it's true.
He didn't flirt with the dark side so much as had a darker nature that he kept under complete control, in my opinion. Or if you ask Teresa, not completely under control.
This is true. Yeah, because you totally...
In Legends,
like,
he actually
totally
mastered Vapod because of his own darkness, his own limitations, and it was he was able to embrace it and
is Vapod
ride the pride, basically.
Is Vapod, which, by the way, sounds like an announcement coming at next year's WDEC, Apple's Vapod... but is Vapod mentioned outside of Shatterpoint?
It's in Shatterpoint. They also bring it back. So it was first mentioned in Shatterpoint, but then they use it in some older KOTOR stuff, and everyone's like, wait, that Mace Windu created it. That can't be. And so then they retconned it that Mace brought it back and created a new version of it. And that it had been kind of taboo for a long time, and Mace is the first one to bring it back. But I believe it was Mace Windu, Kit Fisto, Sora Bach, I believe is what his name was, and then Quinlan Voss were the ones that had mastered it.
Nice. We do have one more email. This one comes from Evan West. He actually sent it to us and the Wampus Lair, and I've been meaning to get to it for some time. Side note, I've already mentioned it once on the show, but it bears twice mentioning. Evan West sent the nicest letter to me at field training, and it was super cool. And Evan, that was a really, really encouraging time to get actual physical mail while I was suffering through Air Force basic training. It was awesome. But yes, this email comes from Evan West. Says, Dear Riley, first of all, love your shows, appreciate the quality. Oh, thank you. Also says, I have a question that tickled my brain a little. I was just wondering what, quote, bring balance to the force really means. If something is in balance, then both sides are equal. I know that you've talked about this before on your shows, but it is still a bit puzzling. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that George Lucas has said that Anakin is, and always has been, the Chosen One. If this is true, then when Anakin Skywalker kills Palpatine, wouldn't the Force be without balance, without the dark side? I suppose this could be solved by saying that the Force is inherently good, and by eliminating any dark side influences, the Force is thus brought back to a natural state of balance. There are those out there who say that Anakin bringing balance to the Force was fulfilled by him joining the dark side, but that doesn't make sense because of all the Jedi that are destroyed and the scale being tipped all the way to the dark side. Thanks, and may the Force be with you, as Domhnall Gleeson would say.
Well, that wouldn't make sense anyway because in the end he was redeemed.
Yeah, so I wrote a blog about this way back in the day on EU Cantina. Hey, Mark, remember EU Cantina?
I do.
Yeah. I actually did a series for one of the seasons of The Clone Wars, did some of the reviews, and when the, what was the name? The trilogy.
Mortis.
The Mortis trilogy, thank you, came out, I wrote somewhat extensively about my thoughts on it because the Mortis trilogy and The Clone Wars really pushed for the idea of the Force being in balance means an equal parts bad and good. Whereas, and again, this really comes down to your personal view, but if you watch, I don't care what George Lucas did in The Clone Wars. If you watch A New Hope, and if you watch Return of the Jedi, they're very much mirrored films. They end with good conquering evil, and all is well with the world. And I personally view the phrase and the concept of bringing balance to the Force as all being right with the world. Not necessarily that the Force is inherently good, but because I think the Force is basically just it's an energy field.
Well, the inherently
that
good
surrounds us and
Lucas.
Binds us. But
Lucas was the one that really pushed that angle, though.
I don't know that the Force. This is again my personal view, and Mark, you can dig into this because you've actually done like probably real research compared to me. But my view of it is that the Force is a tool used at it's a high concept, but balanced in the Force means all is well. It is well with my soul. I think that's when there's balance of the Force. And I think that's the poetry of the Star Wars saga, because if you view balance of the Force being achieved when it's equally good and bad, which a lot of people do, then that kind of defeats the entire linear storyline of Star Wars, where you have the Force fall out of balance with the dark times and then balance being brought and the prophecy being fulfilled when Darth Vader once again rejects his Sith nature and becomes once again Anakin Skywalker, and his son redeems him, and all is well once again, thus bringing balance to the Force. So,
well,
like,
see, and after that, when you're looking at Legends, you see Jason Solo and Anakin Solo arguing over how to use it. You know, Anakin, he prescribed a technique of using it and seeing it as a tool, where Jason saw it more in a religious sense of it's a companion and it's a guide. And that was always something that was always very interesting. But Lucas was the one that first said it was like, you know, the dark side was like a cancer, and that the world was inherently good, and that if you remove the cancerous elements, then everything goes back to being balanced again. But there were also other fans out there that did think of the aspect of, you know, well, you had two Jedi and you had two Sith, but the main difference between those was that the Sith were being active. They were actively creating more darkness, and the Jedi had gone into hiding. they had hidden their presence, and therefore, while they existed, they weren't showing any weight on the scales, and the scales were tipped into the darkness as well. I mean, there's so many angles you could look at it, but Lucas is definitely the one that put that, you know, the imbalance without the Force having a dark side and all that, and you had the angle of, well, is there a dark side or isn't there, when Viger came along to Jason, yeah, trying to break him out of his shell. But it's interesting because I'm rereading that right now, and when those came out, the prequels weren't even finished yet. So, like, concepts of Mortis and things like that were not even fathomed at those times. And to reread it and to see, you know, the Jedi in a time frame where the original order had fallen apart, and they didn't exactly know how it completely had fallen apart, and Luke's trying to reset up the order and everything and what it means to be a Jedi. You've got over 100 Jedi all out on their own personal crusades of what is just and what is right, and there's no one really to reign over them. And so he's trying to reestablish the Jedi Council, and Jason's like, that's a bad idea. That's not what the Force is about. It's not supposed to be about regulations and,
yeah,
and limits and rules. And it's a very interesting spot that series puts you in. And it always comes back to that question of, you know, what is balance of the Force?
Well, and I think in a lot of ways, that question is not answered overtly. And I've, yeah, certainly given my view on it. But well, Bethany, why don't you close this out? What are your thoughts?
I guess for me, and I've had this as an argument and a discussion in the past with other Star Wars fans, the one thing that really sticks out for me is when the Jedi aren't around, that's when chaos starts happening. And that may be either without the existence of Jedi or lightsabers, or without the existence of Jedi and the addition of the Sith. Mm-hmm. That's when things really go bad. But it seems like the Jedi are there, even without darksiders, to provide a balance so that there is less chaos. Because, yeah, there are many active dark side individuals who aren't necessarily Sith and aren't necessarily Force sensitive, like bounty hunters could be some of them, smugglers, thieves, murderers, etc., etc., etc. The Jedi are a very small group compared to all of that crime across the entire galaxy. So to me, you don't have to have Sith in order to have a balance of light and dark. There's enough dark in the galaxy already.
Yeah, and I will say this. There's one thing that we can all be assured of, and that is there has been an awakening, and we have all felt it. The dark side and the light. That's going to do it, folks. Ladies and germs, that's it for the Star Wars Report. It's hard to believe, but it is true. I'm looking at my show notes, and we pretty much hit everything. I'm proud of us, Mark.
One last ponder. What if the Knights of Ren were something so bad the Jedi and Sith had to team up to take them down?
Gasp!
It was like a Calvin and Hobbes level gasp right there. Yeah.
Drop some mic.
I couldn't take us out in a better way, Mark. Nicely done, sir. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's been the Star Wars Report podcast. Thanks for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why I'm doing the radio voice. Yeah, folks, thanks again for listening. We're back. It was an interesting night. I got delayed, and we recorded a lot later than we planned. But hey, we're still here, producing an episode every week. And that's thanks to you guys who are supporting us on Patreon, which is actually our first level that we broke. We busted that record right down for you guys supporting us to make sure that we never miss a week. And here we are in all of our kind of craziness and fun back and forth shenanigans. It's the Star Wars Report podcast, a throwback. It's been a while since it's just the trio. The Star Wars Report trio of sorts, which is awesome. So
yeah,
we've got more special guests coming up. Really exciting big Dragon Con plans. Make sure you're at Dragon Con 2015 and joining us. Join us or die. No, wait, what? Also, but again, if you want to support us, we really would appreciate it and helps take the, yeah, show to the next level.
Well, and
you
can do it. Let's take the show to the next level. I'll interject here a little because Riley and Mark can be a little humble sometimes, but I'm not always as much so. But it helps with things like the fact that Riley's laptop doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, we're still.
Or that my
there've
laptop
been ongoing stories about that.
Has like a 3-inch gash in the side of it, and I have no idea when it will just literally split in two.
Yeah. We're looking.
We can't podcast without laptops.
I'll be honest. We just need a few more patrons, and the next level is going to help us. It's the Jawa Upgrade Spectacular, which is where we will scavenge and salvage the parts required to get a better live broadcast. We'll be back live next week for sure, so stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter. Again, you can do so at facebook.com/StarWarsReport and twitter.com/StarWarsReport. Make sure if you enjoy the show, you're leaving us an iTunes review. It really helps get the word out. You can go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, and that takes you right to our iTunes page. It's really easy to review us there. And even if you listen to us through a different podcatcher, iTunes is kind of where it's at. All the other ones base their rankings on iTunes. So get the word out about the Star Wars Report. Share it with a Star Wars friend, by all means. Also, follow us on Twitter. I'm at The Riley Guy. Bethany is at Bethany L. Blanton. Mark is at Illogical Rogue 2. And if you want to email us like Evan did and like Wu did, make sure you email us StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Again, that's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And lastly, again, Patreon.com/StarWarsReport. I'll be uploading this week's bonus content very shortly after you're probably hearing this episode. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Whoa, that was good. That was an unusual one.
Yeah, he's had an upgrade and he's not happy.
Nice.
Maybe a little happy.
Woohoo! Hey ho, hey ho to the bottle I go.
Conversation with Mark right now.
Oh, you are.
Yep.
Is it in the chat?
Yeah.
I
was telling her, you know, not only is the rub that the Sith are dead and you need them to take down the Knights of Ren. But now that there are no Sith to wield the dark side, Luke has to step in, use the dark side to kill the Knights of Ren, which he's able to do. But now Luke is the big bad because he's been corrupted by the dark side.
Yeah, well, the only thing I can say to that is Nancy would definitely hate you.
I won't be opening any packages.
All right, I'll wrap up the recording, folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you soon. We'll catch you soon. Catch you at Dragon Con of the Dragon.
Woo!
Hey, it seems like you still never gets old. Richard Hatch saying, "Yeah, it just sounds like you know what you're doing," which I'm not sure he was convinced of that at all. But there we go. We'll catch you guys next week. Thank you for riding Star Tours. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.